are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, November the 17th, and goodbye, Bruce Brown. We hardly knew ye. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. We finally got some Pistons news to talk about. And excited that even though we're entering part two of maybe some lockdowns here in Michigan, that at least we got Pistons news to talk about. So that serves our purposes here well on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm going to give my take first on the trade. Spoiler alert, I don't like it. Not at all. A little bit later, we're going to talk to Adam Arbrecht of Locked On Nets about Janin Musa. That's right, Janin Musa. That's how to pronounce it. We checked for you. Brian's going to have an interesting take on an interesting player for us a little bit later on, a player who did not make the Locked On Pistons NBA draft listener big board. That is Tyrell Terry, an interesting prospect that could be in the mix if the Pistons trade down from number 7 tomorrow. That's right, the NBA draft is tomorrow. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook, and give a follow to the Play Michigan Twitter account. That's Play_Michigan, over 500 followers there, and give BShook12, show contributor and big brother Brian Shook on Twitter, a follow as well. But we told you on Monday morning that the trades were coming, and we saw that the Pistons made a start with, for this franchise, what is relatively, comparatively speaking, a pretty big trade, as Bruce Brown is headed to the Brooklyn Nets for Janin Musa and the Toronto Raptors 2021 second-round pick. So not a real asset there. Thinking about a pick that's 45 or later, that's being optimistic on the 45 end of it. Big day in NBA trades. Chris Paul traded to the Suns. And shortly before we started taping here today as well, Drew Holiday headed to the Bucks from the New Orleans Pelicans. The Bucks throwing in 3 first-round picks plus pick swaps on 2 more first rounds after that. It's a lot. It's probably too much, but from where I'm sitting, it's refreshing to see teams go for it. It's refreshing to see Milwaukee go for it. They're in position to win a title. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do to keep Giannis happy. I love that. Push the chips in. Go for it as well. The right move for the right team at the right time. Certainly the Pistons not in the same category, not even nearly the same category. This is a rebuild, and I wanted to be clear that I'm not talking about the Pistons when I'm saying I like teams going for it. But we got Brian coming on tomorrow, maybe a little bit of a mock draft, maybe a little of a spitball about what's going to be happening the rest of the week. Got an almost legend in the bag for you. We're not going to play that today, maybe tomorrow, maybe later this week, maybe early next week. But apologize for the big almost legends fans. We're going to miss you today for that usual Tuesday anchor of our programming here. We're also going to reset our thoughts for some more on Thursday. I'm guessing all hell will break loose on Friday. The instant episode Wednesday night after the Pistons make their pick. 6 o'clock, free agency opens up. We might even do another weekend show if something crazy goes down. But today, it's pretty much all about Bruce Brown in the first two segments. And we're going to try to do this without being a parody of ourselves. We're not talking about a two-way star here exiting stage right. We're not talking about Joe Dumars. We're not talking about Hall of Famer. Bruce Brown is a nice player, is a small building block of a young franchise. But to me, he made this team kind of worth watching for the last 2 years. One of the small reasons which mitigated how painful it's been to watch this crap team over these last 2 years. I'll throw Sofia Mikhailuk in that mix as like a young guy who kind of seems like he gets it in some ways and is talented on the offensive end enough as well. I know Sofie's not the defensive bulldog that Bruce Brown is. And I don't want to overstate Bruce's defense as well. He's a good defensive player. He's not going to be Tony Allen out there or Kawhi Leonard. But Sofie and Bruce in particular are two guys that I've really kind of gotten behind on this show. Luke Kennard, less so. Blake is Blake. I mean, Blake's kind of on a different stratosphere, of course, than the guys we're talking about right now. We love Blake when he's healthy, which he probably won't ever be again. Derrick Rose certainly was a pleasant surprise last year. I was never an Andre Drummond guy. I was never a Reggie Jackson guy. Not really a Tobias Harris guy either. Thought that Derrick Rose, even going forward, good idea to probably get what you can for him. And even when he's playing well, he's a little bit of empty calories, especially for a young team. That's my take on that. But I think that there's something material and something big about the Bruce Brown trade and how you come down on it. And I don't agree with the takes out there where it's like, you can't grade this trade. You can't talk about this trade. It can't in a vacuum, only on itself. No, we can. We can look at a trade and talk about the assets that came back and make a decision on it. Certainly, we'll have later discussions about the overall offseason. But this, to me, seems like it's not as bad as the DeVitas-Servitas trade, which is the worst trade that I don't know that I could even imagine, because I know that there's trades out there when you give up like John Smoltz for Doyle Alexander. John Smoltz turns into a Hall of Famer, so of course that makes you look bad 20 years from now. But the DeVitas-Servitas trade, going on a tangent here, worst trade ever at the time, gets worse every day after that. But to circle back to what we're talking about today, the debate about this franchise, right? And again, the Bruce Brown trade, I'm not here to say that I'm right and you're wrong about it if you're someone who thought Bruce Brown was extremely expendable and that turning back the clock on a guy that you have 3 years of team control on is much more important than Bruce Brown. But how you feel about this franchise and building it forward, how you feel about Bruce Brown, colors kind of how you feel about rebuilding this basketball team in this basketball era. Basically, how important is defense? Is it okay to have a guy out there who's a little bit below league average of a shooter, but at 23, maybe he can continue to improve, you might think. A guy who isn't a great finisher at the rim, but got better at that. Is it okay to have that kind of guy as a building block in an offense-first league? And I'm not saying he was the star you're building around. Of course, even I wouldn't say anything near to that. But I think with this franchise, I think with the Detroit Pistons, that's the kind of player you might consider keeping it around. And I don't also quite buy the argument where, well, next year you got to pay him, so you got to get rid of him now. Bruce Brown is a guy who's going to make like $7 million a year after next year. It's not going to kill your cap sheet. Tony Snell, for comparison's sake, makes like $12 million a year. Even if you got to give Bruce Brown $8.5 million a year, Tony Snell, there's no way Bruce Brown's going to make $12 million a year. And by the way, the cap's going to be going up, it seems like, because of the projections that we've heard about. And we're happy to get Tony Snell because John Lure's contract was worse for a worse player. So that's why, to me, the money kind of long-term is a little bit inconsequential. We're not talking about, you know, possibly $14, $15 million a year for the Luke Kennard situation going forward. You know, whatever that's going to cost. It's why this Bruce Brown debate feels a little bit bigger in terms of what the Pistons community believes. I'm going to be honest about this. This was my favorite Detroit Piston. And I don't want to make this too much about me. And again, we're not talking about Joe Dumars. We're not talking about the second coming here. But this is a guy that I fought for on this podcast before it was fashionable to fight for him. Now, I think that most Pistons fans are against this trade and liked Bruce Brown. So it's a little bit like I'm on the winning team right now, talking about being pro Bruce Brown. But I was on this podcast telling folks to lay off when he had a bad 5 to 8 or 10 games to start last season. He couldn't make a shot. And then when he had what was by all accounts a very good second year, when all was said and done, sure, guys like me felt pretty good about that. The league average three-point shooter in the NBA last year was 35.8%. Bruce was 34.4% in year two. And this is a guy that we told about, have heard about as being a bad three-point shooter. And sure, he could take a step back next year and the misses look bad. He doesn't look like a great shooter to the eye test. But, you know, they went down. It's a make-or-miss league, and he made them. He turned himself into a tick below a league average shooter in year two, 41% from the corner. You build a nice team. You build a good offense around that. And then as a secondary unit comes in, he can be a secondary ball handler there. He can even play some point guard in a pinch, and maybe that evolves in year two, in year three, year four. I don't know. I'm betting on Bruce. I like the guy. I feel like there's some leadership qualities there. He's a good guy. He took Sekou under his wing. I'm betting on him. I think he has some decently big moments on good teams in his future as a useful player. Obviously not a star, anything close to a star, but a very useful player for a very good team going forward. And maybe there's a million things behind the scenes that we don't know about, but man, asset for asset, there seems to be no comparison between Bruce for a trash pick and a player that hasn't gotten anything going in 2 years in the league. And I don't really feel like the second round pick in the 50s means anything to me. And I'll throw this out there. I thought it was strange how quickly the Dwayne Casey said that there was no way that Bruce Brown was a point guard. When, as fans, and of course Dwayne Casey knows much more than fans do, and it's his job to make these kind of decisions. But for all the things that Dwayne Casey doesn't say in the media, for him to kind of tear Bruce down for being nowhere near an NBA caliber point guard from the tone that he set in some of those media comments, while he's talking about Kyrie Thomas possibly being a point guard, Luke Kennard possibly being a point guard, Svi Mykhailiuk being a point guard, he talks about everybody on this franchise being a point guard and says that Bruce Brown, no way, even though we watched him play Kyrie Irving and beat him in an overtime game in his first start at point guard after Reggie Jackson got hurt. And we saw decent moments for Bruce Brown, maybe run a little transition, maybe run up and down the floor a little bit more. Maybe the coaching staff can kind of get that going. So that's kind of another aspect about this whole thing that I haven't heard much talked about. I feel like Dwayne Casey never really bought into Bruce for whatever reason. And Dwayne, he has got a lot of pull here, and he should have a lot of pull here as a veteran coach, as an accomplished coach to some extent in his third year here in the program. And I think a theme about this year for me and this podcast is we're going to start taking a little bit more of a critical look at Dwayne Casey. We really haven't gotten anything from this coaching staff in 2 years. We're going to have to see some more development from guys. We liked what we saw decently in that aspect in year two. But year three, you're bringing back the same coaching staff in year three. Nobody around the league thought it was worth exploring talking to any of these coaches, bringing them over. Certainly not as a head coach. Definitely not even as an assistant coach on their squad as well. Nobody wanted to poach any of those guys. And really, this is the type of inconsequential return for Bruce Brown where Dwayne could have stepped in and said, no, this is my guy. This is my young guy. And since whatever you're bringing back isn't something that's of any kind of consequence, I'm going to voice my objection. Since it's just Musa and an inconsequential pick, that voice might matter. And I'm not saying that Dwayne should be making all personal decisions, but I think his voice matters here. Musa, and I understand you got him for team control for 3 years. Two of them under contract. He's a restricted free agent the third year after that. I get the reasons to make the trade, but it's weak to me. I feel like the deal is out there at the deadline. Nothing changes whenever the trade deadline is this year. Teams would have still wanted a plug-and-play useful player at the deadline who makes $2 million a year for some sort of defensive specialist for the playoff push. You can use Bruce Brown to absorb a bad deal and get a real asset back with all the cap space that the Pistons have. There's no rush for any of this. There's no reason. This needs to be the first move made on Monday morning, the first day that the trade moratorium opens up. This trade, to me, honestly, it's an F. It's an F for me. I'm looking forward to Musa being an impact player. I'm looking forward to being wrong about this and saying, hey, Troy Weaver came in. He made a great deal right away. And Troy Weaver, we trust. And there's a reason we brought this dude in. And Bruce Brown ended up never having a significant moment in his career, and he was out of the league in a few years, and we were silly to even care about him. But as I sit here right now, this is a failure of the Detroit Pistons front office. I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that we're going to be sitting here and lamenting the fact that Bruce Brown was given up for nothing. He's not going to an All-Star game. He's never going to be anything close to that. But he's an impact player and someone who can help winning basketball. And I'd be happy to be wrong about that if one day he is out of the league and Musa turns into something real. And we will see. But the NBA draft is tomorrow. And the Locked On NBA podcast is mock drafting every first round pick. I picked up number 7. Check that one out from last week. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections on pick after pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, We're talking to the Locked On Nets about Musa coming in and what you need to know about him. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Go. It's the way that I get through my wall every single day. Built Go, it's a workout gel that'll get you through your wall as well. Built Go makes you the best you. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it every day with Go. That's right, the easy to take around in the briefcase for the best presentation you're ever going to give. Put it in your golf bag for the great back nine. Put it in your pocket. It's an easy to carry 1.5 ounce of the workout gel. It tastes great. Peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Three great flavors. How does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. They got the beta-alanine, B3 honey, and a kick of caffeine as well. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong. B6, B12, the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Yes!
All right, now we're being joined by Adam Armbrecht of the Locked On Nets podcast. This is Matt Shook from Locked On Pistons. We wanted to break down the trade from Monday morning. Bruce Brown headed to Brooklyn to the Nets for Dazan Musa and a 2021 second-round pick. Apparently, it's the Toronto Raptors, one of the four picks that the Nets had for next season. So what's the initial reaction there from Brooklyn Nets fans, Adam?
Yeah, we like it. I mean, if you're Brooklyn, you have to like it because you're getting in a player, at least I think from the outside looking in, and maybe you'll have more insights here, a player that can impact on the defensive end in Brown. So that's really what we wanted to do, is get a little bit better on that side of the floor. I know he has some work to do from a shooting perspective, but, you know, moving on from Musa, and not to gild the lily here, a player that's, he's still young, so there's plenty of development for him, but he's obviously waned in terms of his value on this roster as we got in KD and Kyrie. So Brown feels like a player that can have an impact for us in the upcoming season, whereas Musa is going to need some time to season himself.
Yeah, and kind of the other way here in Michigan, as Pistons fans are not happy about this trade. Obviously, it's a new direction for the franchise. They're going full rebuild, so the 21-year-old makes sense more for the direction in that regard. But this is a player that kind of grew on the Pistons fans, and myself in particular, in his first two seasons of his career. He's of the defensive mold, which, of course, we buy and eat up and spit out here in bad boys country. So we love that. I put up on the Locked On Pistons a little bit of a survey here, poll, bad trade or good trade. And as we sit here right now, 70 votes are in. 75% of the Pistons fans don't like this trade. I'll give Nets fans a little rundown here on Bruce Brown. Came to the Pistons from the University of Miami in the draft, a second-round pick, the number 42nd overall. But if you remember the 2018 draft, those second-round picks were pretty valuable. It was a very deep draft. He was a guy projected as maybe possibly a late first-round pick, and has overachieved from the second-round pick status as well. Was an impact rookie and was in the rotation, even starting 56 games for a team that made the playoffs as a rookie. Horrendous three-point shooting there as a rookie, which really improved quite a bit in his second year. Now, is he a 34% shooter going forward? I don't know. I mean, the misses are bad. It sounds like that maybe that was but that 30% career percentage is a little bit more accurate, I would say, than the 34% from a feel standpoint. It's a guy who can make plays as well. He's a pick and roll ball handler and showed in his 2 years of summer league in Las Vegas very well. He was getting triple doubles in summer league, was the Pistons' best player in both of the summer leagues that he had, and even tried out him at point guard quite a bit this year. That didn't go over great. Dwayne Casey smashed that in the media right away, saying he is not a point guard, more so than myself or maybe some of the fans who observed over the years watching a lot of bad point guard play for the Pistons, that he wasn't any worse than some of the other players that we've had at point guard. So a secondary ball handler for sure, a good on-ball defender. The defense is good, but, you know, he's not like an all-NBA type or all-defensive team type defender in the future or anything like that. But the on-ball stuff is pretty good. and a character guy, took Sekou Doumbouya under his belt there as a rookie coming over from France, and a good quote in the locker room, someone that the fans kind of came to enjoy. And you know, Troy Weaver's putting himself out there with this trade, and Musa could develop certainly into a better pro as time goes on. But the early returns are not good ones for Pistons fans with this trade. What about Moose?
Yeah, well, listen, I will tell you, I can understand it when you have a young guy, because if you're a team like Detroit, and maybe it feels like this is a signal of some bigger moves to come for them in terms of some of the larger names on that roster, like a Derrick Rose or like a Blake Griffin, certainly. What I will tell you is, if you get Musa in on the court and he's getting larger minute shares, he will score for you. He's good on the ball. He can get ball dominant at times, and that's another reason why it's hard to keep him around on a Nets roster that obviously has bigger mouths to feed now. So, you know, he has good length. He has decent shooting. He's only shot 37% from the field so far in his young NBA career. He spent a lot of time in the G League developing. The three-point shooting has not been there for him either. And in spite of the fact that he has good length and size, you know, 6'9", you can play him even at the guard position there if you want to. He can go up to the forward. He can defend. It's not elite defensive prowess. Obviously, still, you know, just 21 years old. So he can grow into that, not as long as you might expect him to be for what his size is. And the only other thing I'll note too, over the couple of years here with the Nets, he's bulked up since coming in from the NBA and getting drafted, which makes sense. And also, some players suffer from this, where they start to get a little bit more hunched over. They start to crouch more in their stance. That's something that you've seen from Moose over these first couple of years, something to watch on. But he can drive the lane. He plays aggressively. He's a little bit sloppy in terms of finishing around the rim. He showed some defensive upside steals-wise as well for you. So I wouldn't be, if you want to have a scorer on this roster and what could be potentially, not to be negative here, but could be a lower end team than Detroit
Pistons. Hey, the Pistons lower end? What are you talking about?
But if he's on the court for maximum minutes, you're going to get scoring out of him. So he will be a fun player to watch. He will be exciting for you. He will put points on. You know, the development is going to be interesting just in terms of eliminating some of those mistakes that we've seen on the Nets side of things. You're getting back a good player, and he's still young enough to develop and grow. So I wouldn't be – I think the 75% negative, or, you know, not liking the trade, is probably going to end up cleaning itself up, I think, in the long term if he gets on the floor and starts to see some real minute shares for Detroit. So be excited. He is a scorer first, and he is an exciting player. He's flashed that for Brooklyn. This is just about where the Nets are and what the goals are in the short term for us, and I think less about how they feel about Musa and his long-term capabilities of developing.
Yeah, well, thanks for making us feel a little better there, Adam. We really appreciate it. A couple more things on Bruce. He kind of struggles to finish at the rim a little bit, needs to get better there, but that's another thing that did move in the positive direction from year one to year two. And corner threes, he knocked them down at a 41.7% clip, so obviously with those guys going to be dominating the ball in Brooklyn, that could spell well for his role alongside those guys. But I think, like I said, I think the thing that you might be surprised about with Nets fans is, in a second unit type of situation, he can actually have the ball in his hands maybe a little bit more than we would have thought coming out of college, and the way he developed from year one to year two as well. So I think that'll pretty much do it for us here, but thanks to Adam Armbrecht of Locked On Nets, and obviously a lot to listen to with that show with this week and going forward, kind of an interesting chemistry experiment that they're doing in Brooklyn and all the rumors flying around about James Harden and everything there. Tons going on in Nets land.
We've only just begun, Matt, but it was great to get on with you and get a little bit of a look at Brown as well. And hopefully this is the first of many bigger, more exciting trades, maybe for both franchises, really, as things get underway here in the offseason.
A couple of months ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your top 7 big board for the Pistons for the 2020 NBA Draft. And after you guys did, there were 18 names that were submitted. We finished profiling those players, but in the time since the lists were submitted, a few players have garnered some interest that we figured were worth looking into in case the Pistons trade down or pick up some more picks. So today we look at Tyrell Terry, a 20-year-old 6'3", 170-pound point guard. From Minneapolis, Minnesota, Terry attended renowned Minnesota basketball powerhouse De La Salle High School, and in his 4 years on varsity, helped lead the Islanders to 3 Class 3A state titles. Individually, he piled up statewide recognition that included Minnesota High School All-Tournament Team, First-Team AP All-State Selection, First-Team All-USA Today Minnesota Basketball Selection, the Minnesota Star Tribune First-Team All-Metro Honors, and was a 3-time Tri-Metro All-Conference Selection in a career that culminated in his senior season in which Terry averaged over 22 points and 7 assists per game. He also represented Team USA in the 2018 Albert Schweitzer tournament for under-18 teams. He was a 4-star recruit and decided to play for Stanford in Palo Alto, California, and coach Jared Haas. In his lone year at Stanford, he averaged over 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists for the Cardinal on his way to being named to the All-Pac-12 freshman team. Terry tells ESPN's Mike Schmitz why he decided the time was right for him to make the jump to the NBA.
So last year must have been, you know, kind of crazy, especially with, you know, the pandemic. Been kind of stationed down in Indianapolis, just training. I've gone through several interviews and things like that. Kind of my decision came down to just the feedback I was getting from teams and stuff like that. The pandemic did have, a part of it to play in my decision and the factor. But I feel like, comfortable with my decision. I feel like I made the right decision.
With an over 40% average on college threes, the thing that will excite most people is his three ball. He might be the best shooter in this draft and is a way to add instant offense to whatever dish your team is cooking up. He has a high motor and a competitive fire that obviously burns at a high temperature, and he is a better finisher at the rim than his slender frame would suggest. He has great court vision and has the potential to be an above average playmaker at the next level. He has a high basketball IQ and IQ in general, as it's been reported that he has broken records in that regard during the pre-draft process. He is not as explosive as you would hope with someone that has his diminutive stature, and he must obviously get bigger to be able to play through contact and be able to defend some of the stronger guards in the league. His size limits who he can check defensively, and his good footwork will only be able to take him so far on that end. He is a very nice player, and some mocks have him near the end of the lottery, but most see him in the 20s. Terry is pure offense and would be a nice piece for Troy Weaver and the Pistons to add, but just not at number 7, as there are numerous more complete options at his position, but whomever takes him may be getting the best shooter in the draft. A good comparison I saw was Seth Curry. Thanks for listening, and we will be back with the next installment when we look at guard Cassius Winston.
Thanks again to Brother Brian for that look at Tyrell Terry. All offense coming in there to whoever picks him tomorrow for the NBA draft. Believe it or not, NBA draft. Pistons offseason not off to a great start, in my book, anyway. I'm anxious to hear what you guys have to say when all continues here. We'll see how the draft goes. We'll see how the Christian Wood saga gets completed. We'll see what new players come into the fold for your Detroit Pistons, a discouraged host of the Locked on Pistons podcast these days. But that'll do it for this edition of Locked on Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked on NBA. Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.